Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of our Lord. This morning, our passage from Ephesians reminds us of the immeasurable nature of God's grace, how all of us have been saved by God's grace. And Paul is not just referring to the saving grace of God that we experience in the afterlife. Paul's also talking about the saving grace of God that we experience in our present everyday lives. This passage reinforces the sheer enormity of God's mercy, love, grace, and kindness that has the power to alter our present day realities and our current lives. And this morning, I have a video that I wanted to show you all. This video is called Cardboard Testimonies. And it's real life testimonies from folks who have experienced the saving grace of God and watched it radically transform their lives. This video provides us with numerous real-life snapshots of God's saving grace breaking into other people's lives. These personal testimonies illumine just how far-reaching God's grace is and the enormous power it has. We saw in this video how God's grace has the power to break addictions, to cure the sick, to overturn homelessness, restore families, diminish depression, and end eating disorders. These are real-life, everyday struggles that these people faced, and that because of God's grace, they were delivered from all of it. As the Apostle Paul points out in this passage, God possesses an enormous amount of grace and love and mercy and kindness for each and every single one of us, and we have all experienced God's grace breaking into our own lives and transforming our lives. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, our passage from Ephesians prompts us to think about God's grace a little bit, to reflect on those instances when we did experience God's grace, how it transformed our life for the better, to celebrate and rejoice in those instances of God's grace breaking into our lives. This morning, there's one other point from our passage that I wanted us to discuss a little bit further, and that is how God's grace is a pure gift for us to enjoy. We know and are fully aware that there is nothing that we do or can do to earn God's grace. Paul is sure to remind us of that as he says that grace is not from us, nor is it from our works. So the grace that we experience in our lives is not from any activity of our own. It is just freely given to us from God. Several years ago, when I was living in Wilmington, North Carolina, I was working at a drug and alcohol treatment facility there. And I have shared some of those stories with you all before. I told you about how my main job was to work with the intensive outpatient clients at that facility, which entailed that I would teach these 3-hour-long classes 3 days a week. And these classes were closed series classes. They lasted for 12 weeks. So the same clients that started out on week one were together as a cohort for the entire 12 weeks. So, as you might imagine, there was a strong sense of group cohesion that could form throughout those 12 weeks. And by the end of it, there was a strong sense of camaraderie that had developed. And since you are spending that amount of time with those specific clients, then you really get to hear their stories. You get to hear what they faced and the struggles that they endured. The first class series that I taught, at the end of the 12 weeks, I had a gentleman come up to me, and he was telling me that he was struggling. And I knew he was struggling because I was listening to his story, and you could sense and you could see that just the weight of the world was resting on his shoulders. So we started talking about these struggles that he was facing, and he told me that he wasn't sleeping at all. He was staying up all night long, tossing and turning, and just reliving those experiences from when he was living on the street and wrapped up in his heroin addiction. And he told me that he was reliving all the things that he had done to his family members and his friends. So we talked at length about this, and he told me that he had gone to his loved ones, and he had expressed his remorse and his sorrow, and that they had extended grace to him, that they had forgiven him, they had accepted him back into their lives. As he described this situation where his family and his loved ones had forgiven him, accepted him back into their lives, but yet he was still wrestling with these issues, not sleeping and reliving the things that he had done, I realized that he hadn't forgiven himself. He had experienced grace and forgiveness from his family, but he hadn't extended grace to himself at all. Instead, he was just carrying around this guilt and this shame and this disappointment. So we talked about grace. We talked about how grace is a gift from God, how it was God's saving grace that delivered him from that life of addiction and living on the streets. We talked about how it was God's grace that he experienced from his family members and his loved ones. And then we talked about how he needed to extend grace to himself, to free himself from all the guilt and the shame that he was carrying with him. Oftentimes in life, we experience God's grace breaking into our lives, altering our lives for the better. We experience God's grace through other people as they forgive us. But we are so reluctant to extend grace to ourselves. Instead, we beat ourselves up. We hang on to guilt and shame from previous actions. We harbor resentment for ourselves. We have a difficult time of letting go. As Paul points out in this passage, there is nothing that we really ever do or can do to earn God's grace. It is a pure gift from God. And part of accepting that gift from God means that we extend it to ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to let go of any shame or guilt or disappointment from previous actions and behaviors. As we continue on our Lenten journey this week, I encourage you all to spend some time contemplating the grace of God, reflecting on those instances when we did experience God's grace breaking into our lives, transforming it for the better, and rejoicing in those instances. And let us reflect on those times when we were reluctant to extend grace to ourselves. Maybe there's still some grace we need to receive from ourselves this week. God's saving grace is a pure gift, so let us truly and fully receive that gift and relish it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.